Hey guys, and welcome to the Animal Training Academy podcast show. I'm your host, Ryan Cartledge, and I'm really excited that you have decided to take time out of your busy schedules to come and hang out today. We're really grateful for you tuning in. And if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, we really appreciate this. Thank you so much. Hopefully you have subscribed so that you never miss an episode. But if not, or if you are new to the show, get yourself over to iTunes, Stitcher, animaltrainingacademy.com, or whatever it is you're listening to this podcast on, and hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss a single episode. We are bringing you today's episode on behalf of the Animal Training Academy, or ATA, membership. If you like the conversations in these podcasts, then I want to invite you to continue them with like-minded people within the ATA membership area, which you can find out more about over on the ATA website. Within the membership, you can get access to twice monthly live web classes, the back catalogue of previous web classes, plus a huge library of videos and projects to problem solve different training situations. And we're a sociable bunch with an exclusive private Facebook group, forums area, and WhatsApp chat groups. It's like a Netflix social media platform for animal behaviour nerds. But we will get started on today's episode, where we will be talking to one Laura Ryder. Laura is the head dog trainer at Morley Vet Centre in Perth, Western Australia. Laura is a certified professional dog trainer, CPDTKA, a Karen Pryor Academy certified training partner, KPA-CTP, and a full member of the Institute of Modern Dog Trainers, the IMDT, and is also on the Fair Free Speakers Bureau. Laura has three passions when it comes to dog training. One, as a member of the Fair Free Speakers Bureau, she passionately brings low stress handling and fear free training to veterinary clinics, focusing on both the physical and emotional health of patients. Laura is one half of the Institute of Modern Dog Trainers Australia education team, the IMDT Australia launched in January 2019, which is now. And Laura hopes to see it follow in the IMDT UK's footsteps, where it is known as the leading education provider for dog trainers and behaviourists in that part of the world. Laura also spends a lot of her time creating fun and engaging training courses for pet dogs, and in 2014 saw Laura create the Canine Adventure Course, a non-competitive dog sport for the family dog to enjoy. The Canine Adventure Course saw Laura also travel to Las Vegas in 2016 to present at the annual APDT conference, and additionally to London in 2017, where she presented it at the Institute of Modern Dog Trainers Conference. There are now trainers all over the world running their very own fun Canine Adventure Courses, which we're going to talk about later in the show, which for Laura means more dogs out there having fun with their families. Laura shares her home with her husband, daughter, her four border terriers, Wicket, Milani, Lando, and Rogue, and her 30-year-old horse, Arnie. So without further ado, it's my very great pleasure to welcome Laura to the show today, who is patiently waiting by. Laura, how are you?
I am very well. Thank you, Ryan. How are you today?
Yeah, doing fantastic. Thank you. Looking forward to exciting 2019.
Yes, absolutely.
Asking you if you were going to Peter Clark and Susan Freeman's event in April this year, but you had first world problems. you couldn't get to that event because you have to go to Ken Ramirez's training ranch. God.
I know it was. I know I could have fitted in both, but I just can't do it. No, so Ken, it is.
Life is hard, isn't it, Laura?
It is. It is. It's very tough.
Hey, Laura, let's get going and dive straight into the first question today. Could you please take everyone listening back to the start of your journey, where you first learned about positive reinforcement animal training, and share some stories about some of the first animals you ever trained using it?
Yeah, I'd love to. I started working at Morley Vet Centre when I was 15. I started while I was still at school as a kennel hand. So we have a big boarding facility at the clinic as well as the clinic itself. 23 years later, I'm still there. It's an amazing place to work. So that's kind of where I started. My boss, Dr. Gib McDonald, is a vet behaviourist. So behaviour's always been at the forefront of what we do in the clinic, which is wonderful. And So I was kennel hand for a few years at school and then started assisting with puppy classes in 2000. And I decided puppies were my thing. This is what I wanted to do. Who wouldn't want to? You know, days and days of spending time with gorgeous little pups. So at that time, Dr. Kirsty Sexel was travelling around Australia presenting her puppy class workshops. And so I followed her around and took in everything I could to learn more about puppies. And then she was a big promoter for the Delta accreditation. So 2003, I headed off with my little dog, Lockie, back in the day, and headed off and did the Delta course, which was a great foundation for everything that I'm kind of doing now. It's where I really started. I flew to Melbourne with little Lockie, and the first day there, young, early 20s, very naive and new to the whole world, and my little Lockie was running around having fun with a couple of the other dogs, having a bit of an exercise that afternoon before we all got started. And there was a little yelp and he came running back to me with his back leg in the air. And he'd done a complete cruciate rupture, completely gone on the first day. So I was a blubbering mess, all worried about my little dog. But I think that really cemented to me as well that I was with my people. Everyone on the course was so lovely and so understanding and supportive and got me through that tough time, that as well as training the dogs, it was the type of people that we were surrounded by, and just that supportive culture was kind of what confirmed that this is what I wanted to do. So that was kind of the first bit that I did, and then I kind of kept going and wanting to learn more, and then I heard of this amazing vet behaviorist called Dr. Sophia Yin. And I was very interested in what she did and wanted to learn more. And vet behaviorist, vet first. And so I wanted to find out more about what she did. And so I was lucky enough, she travelled over here and presented for the Australian Veterinary Behaviour Interest Group. So my boss pulled a couple of strings so that I could attend with him. And so that was in Melbourne. And then the following week she presented at the APDT in Sydney. So I kind of joked that I was, you know, a groupie of Sophia's. I kind of followed her and flew around Australia to see her. The things she did, you know, it was amazing. And I had the pleasure of being able to talk to her. We chatted at the conference dinner and I felt like this fangirl. And she was lovely and just so warm and compassionate and just, again, amazing things that she has done for our profession. And one of my highlights was the next morning she was about to present up on stage. It was the final day. And she came wandering over and said, "Oh, good morning, Laura. How are you?" And I was, even that she just remembered my name, I was floored. And she said, "I thought you'd like to have this." So she gave me one of her her hands-free leads. So it's a belt that clips around. So she gave me this lovely little gift and said, "Oh, thanks for following me around Australia. I thought you might like to have this." So I decided I would seize the moment in true fangirl, you know, hurrah, finish it on a big one with her. And I asked her if she would sign it as well. So the groupie in me, I have a signed Sophia Yin lead, which I will treasure forever. So that's probably where I started. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, and that's cool. I don't think many people can say they've got a signed Sophia Yin lead.
Yes.
And you're big on those moments, aren't you? Because you say that, and as I'm talking to you, I'm looking behind you at the top of your shelf in your office, so no one can see. Can you explain to everyone what I'm looking at?
Yes. So my little Lockie, he was a little terrier mix, little rescue pup, and he was my little heart dog. He started all of this with me. So he passed away a few years ago now, and I decided that I wanted something to keep, you know, something to always have with me. So it's an American company. It's called Cuddle Clones. And so you take a heap of photos of your dog, and you send it over to them, and they turn your, they make a teddy bear to look exactly like your dog. It's amazing. He's still with me. I use him as my little demo dog. He comes with me if I'm presenting, and I have my little stuffed Lockie. It's a gorgeous little teddy bear, and it looks so much like him. But on the website, oh my goodness, not only do people get dogs, there's people have had their pet chicken turned in, like, you know, let's make a teddy bear with my pet chicken. Why not? It's really cute.
And does having him there make you think about where you got started? Does it make you think about going and doing your doubter certification? What is taking Lockie, not actual Lockie, but yeah, Cuddle Klein Lockie, to your presenting spots, to where you're going to go talk? Does it help you remember those memories and kind of where you come from, or?
Yeah, it does. I think it reminds me of that naive, you know, young girl who started on these big adventures. And I look out and to some of the people I'm presenting with, whether it's some budding dog trainers or some lovely vet nurses that I'm chatting with, and I see that same kind of enthusiasm I'm really pleased to be able to work with them so that they can have an amazing journey with what they want to do as well.
I guess as the Sophia Yen lead, you framed the moment. You framed the moment of getting it signed as seizing the moment.
Yes,
but that is another piece in your collection that mm-hmm. kind of reminds you of where you've come from. And I guess, I'm not speaking for you. That was a question, even though it didn't sound like one. What I'm getting at though is, seizing the moment wasn't just getting it signed, was it? It was kind of seeing that this person you were following was in Australia. You said your boss pulled strings. I kind of feel like you probably had something to do with motivating your boss to pull those strings.
I may have been twisting his arm a little bit, yes.
So seizing the moment is like a bigger picture there of you just kind of following the cookie crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I'd get you to speak to that more, to people that might be in your spot. Back at the start of their career, how can they seize the moment? What would that young Laura say to them that was just so keen to go and follow Sophia Yen around Australia?
Oh my goodness, it's a really good question, Ryan. I guess just go out there and do it. You know, I was chatting with a friend recently about saying that I was heading off to America to see Ken Ramirez this year, and she made the comment that back when we were in high school, you know, if I'd said to gone into my career, you know, advisor, you know, and they'd said, what do you want to do with your life, Laura? And, you know, I was like, I want to play with puppies, please. They probably would have gone, well, no, you can't do that as a full-time, like as a profession. You know, I don't think that it's something that you could, you know, that you can do just, and it's like, yes, you can. If that's what you want to do and you have that love for animals, we're so lucky now. There are some great opportunities out there for us to, you know, become a dog trainer, you know, an amazing vet nurse, you know, whatever you want to do, just absolutely seize the moment and do it.
Yeah, I guess those career advisors wouldn't have been particularly good at seizing the moment if they were to tell you that you couldn't do something. But even in 2019, there's probably, you know, for someone wanting to get started, mm-hmm. not necessarily people, even self-talk and not necessarily people but circumstances saying, you know, mm-hmm. this isn't probably potentially something you could do. But is it just a feeling? Is it just a passion? Or is there any actions people can take, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as actions go, I guess it's lovely that we're getting more and more courses, workshops, amazing people coming out to Australia. I know that when I first started, it was very much, and I'm still traveling, you know, bring on Ken as we head over there. But there's more and more things coming here to Australia. So I think we're going to talk about it in a little bit. So Institute of Modern Dog Trainers launching here, I think is a great step forward. So the people that do have that passion and want to work with animals, you know, there's more and more courses becoming available so that they can get out there and do it.
And I feel like you came up with some pretty good slogans for business labels when you were talking there. Puppies are our thing. You'll find yourself with your people.
Yeah. So, I know. You've written these down. I should write these down.
Well, I think we'll call the podcast episode Seizing the Moment. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Let's see if we can bring everything we talk about back to that topic, Seizing the Moment.
Okay.
And you talked about actions about how to do that, which might be getting involved in learning opportunities. And as you mentioned, we're going to talk about some of those today. But let's, before we move on, just tell everyone what you're doing in 2019 and maybe run us through what an average day looks like for you at Morley Vet Centre.
Yeah, okay. So an average day at Morley Vet Centre. It's a really big clinic. So we have 8 vets on staff. We have just, I think we've just hit coming up to 40 staff members. So we have a wide range of right through. So we have grooming department all the way through to our boarding and then obviously the clinic itself. We also have our training team. So there's myself and 3 other trainers. So we run a variety of different classes from puppies right up to, we do pet dog agility. We also kind of do, we get a few trainers in to do some fun workshops as well. So we have the lovely Fiona Cowie who comes and does nose work with our clients. They think that's awesome. And I guess an average day at the clinic, as far as what I do, I mean, running classes, I also do all of our staff training programs. So when our staffs come in, a lot of their induction is focused on behavior and training. So right through from being really fluent in body language to those handling skills that we're using every day. So that's my role. A lot of one-on-one consults as well. So helping people having issues, you know, with their pet dogs. And as I mentioned, my boss is a vet behaviorist. So he sees a lot of consults. He consults in behavior one day a week. He's in surgery the other day that he's in the clinic. So again, supporting him with the behavior cases that he sees coming through the doors as well.
Sounds fun.
It is. It's a great place. It's a great place to work. There's a heap of us that have been there for well over 10, 15 years. So it's like a big, crazy family.
Awesome. So if you're out there wanting to get started and you're thinking maybe you can't do it, seize the moment, get involved in some of the things like we're going to be talking about today, and maybe you can have as much fun as Laura has on a daily basis. Hey, Laura, for anyone that might want to get in touch with you or find out more about all the things we're going to go talk about next, where is the best place for them to do that?
So I'm on Facebook, so very welcome to flick me a friend request and say hello. As well as that, morleyvetcentre.com.au is the vet clinic's website that has all my contact details on there, as well as all of the resources we use. So we have a puppy parents page just dedicated to all things puppy, and a lot of kind of behavior advice as well as what the vet clinic does. So that's probably the two. And then there's also Institute of Modern Dog Trainers. So that is imdt.com.au. So I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but that is where to head to have a look at the courses that we've got up and running this year.
Cool. So puppy parent page, Laura's Facebook page, Morley Vet Trainers, IMDT, Fear Free, which we're going to be talking about today as well, which is really exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're going to be talking about the Canine Adventure Course, your Canine Adventure Course. Is information about that available on the Morley page as well, is it?
Yeah, so it'll flick through to that, but you can find it at, and it's all one big word, canineadventurecourse.com.
Awesome. So the CCAC. we'll link to all of us in the show note. Hey, thanks for sharing everything so far, Laura. I love hearing about what we call here at ATA, people's behavioral odysseys. Moving forward, though, your behavioral odyssey continues to get exciting in 2019 and beyond. And one of the things we've mentioned numerous times already is the IMDT coming to Australia. You guys, you, Fiona Cowie, and a few other people over that side of the world, the same side of the world as me, but much bigger location. You're doing some really exciting stuff over there. We're going to talk about this, but let's go back just a little bit first. For the people listening to the show who might not have heard of IMDT and wonder what the heck we're talking about, can you explain what it is and what it does, and then bring us up to speed of what you guys are doing and have planned on Aussie?
Yeah, perfect. So IMDT is Institute of Modern Dog Trainers. It was created in 1999 by the amazing UK trainer, Steve Mann. So he is our head honcho and is an amazing leader. It is now, over the years in the UK, it's become the leading education provider for dog trainers and behaviourists. They also are travelling quite a bit through Europe. Steve heads down to South Africa every year and does quite a lot there. And he was out here last year in Perth. I also was invited, my introduction to IMDT was I was invited to present at their annual conference in London about my canine adventure course, and so met the team. I say team, it's a family. Met the family over there, and over the last 6 months or so, so Fiona Cowie and myself have been working with Steve Mann to bring IMDT here to Australia in 2019. So how it runs, I guess why I love the IMDT, I'm going to keep calling it family because it is a family. It's a really supportive team of skilled professionals. And I think the culture that Steve has created is second to none. It's a really, really supportive organisation. And there's such a wide variety of courses right through from a budding trainer, a young vet nurse wanting to learn a little bit more, right through to, you know, professionals that have been doing it for a long time but want to upskill, learn something new, and kind of add to their toolbox. So what we do, we have a lot of courses starting here. It's all starting in Perth for 2019 with plans hopefully to head over to the East Coast next year. But hopefully some East Coast people might like to come over to Perth, come, you know, check out the other side of Australia and come visit us and do some things here with us. Or maybe even from New Zealand. It's not that far, Ryan. What we do, we have some one-day courses. So we have Perfect Puppy, which is actually running this coming weekend, actually. So a bit excited about that one. We have a one-day body language course. There's a Loose Leaders course, which is about teaching, obviously, trainers to then it's a train the trainer workshop and a Happy Recallers. So they're our one-dayers and they're open to anyone. So anyone can come along, learn something more. Who doesn't want to learn more about puppies? I do. And then there's also the qualification pathway that budding trainers can choose to follow. So the qualification pathway sees them attend. So we first off have our two-day career as a dog trainer course. This is a really theory-based course. And then we have our four-day practical instructors. And I'm really passionate about this one because what I've found with the four-day practical instructors course is that, yes, it's very much about training the dogs, but there is a really strong component about teaching the people. And I think that as professionals, if we don't have the people skills, we're not going to inspire and educate that, you know, the community out there. So the people skills is really nice that there's a strong focus on that. Then once they've done those, we're encouraging them to get out and about. There's lots of recommended readings, shadow classes, you know, and learn as much as they can. And we're there to support them through their whole journey. Then there's the membership assessment. So they come back to us once they're, you know, confident and, well, confident as you can be as you're about to take an assessment. And the membership assessment, how it works is that there is a theory exam first up. Then there is a group class assessment. So it's a 20-minute group class. You choose what you're going to teach. We're just assessing on how you're teaching it, how you're kind of running and managing the class. Then you do a one-on-one puppy consult and you also do a one-on-one rescue consult. So all of those are included in the assessment. And then at the end of that, you can then apply for your Principles of Dog Training and Behaviour certification through the Open Colleges Network. So we help you through all of that process. And the exciting bit, you also get to become part of the IMDT family. So we have both student and full memberships. So for a student membership, you're getting between 60 and 79%. So we, you know, it's lovely to include, you know, the budding trainers that are starting off on their journeys and they stay with us and keep learning. And full membership is 80% or higher. So there definitely is a, you know, a really a quality base there that we've set a higher standard. It's not just pass or fail. You need to know it. And so then you can, you know, become part of our IMDT family, which is growing and growing, which is lovely. The other side of it for those that are already out there training, maybe you've been doing training for years, but want to add, you know, add something else, learn a little bit more, they can for their membership just sit the membership assessment without following the whole qualification pathway. And so again, we have had quite a few trainers now who again want that, you know, that membership to, and they've done it that way.
So how do people seize the moment? So they go to the IMDT website and they get registered for all of these things. And are we allowed to talk about these upcoming events in 2019, or are they a little bit hush-hush at the moment?
Yeah, no, I have been given the green light that I'm allowed to talk away.
Do it.
Yes, yes.
What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely we can seize the moment. So we have all of those courses are running here in Perth, so they can absolutely head over to the imdt.com.au, head over to the website, and everything is there. The bookings are ready. They're waiting to go. As well as that, so Fiona and myself are running Steve's courses here, but the man himself will be over here this year as well, which is very exciting. So IMDT have some amazing trainers all over the world now, as we've spoken about, and some of the big names too. So we have, so 3B Events have IMDT members. So John McGigan and Sam Turner are coming out to Perth and then over to Melbourne. And I believe, I better check my notes so I don't get in trouble. It is April 2019. So really soon they will be landing on our shores. And so all of those ones will be booked through 3bevents.com.au. But again, lovely IMDT family members coming over to Perth. And then we also have later in the year, we have Steve Mann coming over. We also have Robert Hewings, who is an IMDT, but is also from UK College of Scent Dogs. He's amazing. Very excited about him coming out. And also IMDT member David Bryce, who is a behaviourist and I feel self-confessed complete dog geek. So they are all landing on our shores in September and October. So they will be coming here and running quite a few different courses in Perth, Adelaide and Melbourne. So the events are busy working with IMDT, getting them all throughout Australia. So really exciting things happening for 2019.
And so you went over to the IMDT conference in 2017, right? Which is where you said you'd meet the family. And so
yes.
It's been pretty fast moving, would you say, to kind of be where we are in January 2019?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was the lovely thing about IMDT. You're just, you know, I was just welcomed with open arms, which was lovely. And then I think it was then having the family travelled out here. So we had Steve, John and Sam come out to Perth last year. And so, again, I spent quite a bit of time with them. We went out and about and had lots of fun and travelled around and they saw the sights like you do when family visits. So it just all kind of snowballed from there.
And you can listen to some previous episodes from John McQueen and Sam Turner in the archives of the Animal Training Academy podcast show. So make sure to go check out those sensational human beings. And maybe some of those other names will be coming up in the future. Keep your eye on the show. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about his family a little bit more. Do you think that the family-ness, it's a label, we're going to have to unpack what that looks like. do you think that family-ness is what is something that has contributed, I should say, to the IMDT success? And as I said, unpack this label for us. What does being family mean? And is that an important component of the success of IMDT?
Yes, I think so. I think that I guess what family means is that everyone can have different ideas, different opinions, but there is still that same passion about what we're doing. And so there's often, so we have our IMDT, you know, our little Facebook, you know, our closed groups, and they're a lovely supportive group, but there's great questions that are raised and there's never, you know, and it's Facebook and there's no negativity, which is lovely. You may have a slightly different take on something, but that's fine. Let's chat about it and let's discuss it and let's be supportive of each other. So I think that, I don't know, I've been drawn towards those kind of family places. Morley Vet Centre is very much the same. You know, it's very much, we all have different ideas and that all comes together, but we can discuss them. It's not a, well, you know, we say family, there's dysfunctional family too, but, you know, Morley Vet Centre as well as IMDT, I feel are just that really lovely, supportive, open place where you can say what you feel.
That's awesome. I love that, being on Facebook and and so another thing you talked about there that you said you're passionate about is, did you call it, looking at my notes here, it was the one about training people, practical instructors.
Yes.
What was the name of it? Becoming a Practical Instructor.
Yeah, so it's the 4-day Practical Instructors course. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this one. We've talked about all of the offerings that are available to Australians and, as you mentioned, beyond. Let's focus on one of the courses that you said you're passionate about, and this is the Practical Instructors one. Before we move on to our next topic, can you just give everyone four top things that they might learn in that 4-day that was accidental. Four things I'll learn in a 4-day course, practical instructor course.
Okay. I guess the biggest one is the confidence to be able to get up in front of people and present. I think most of us as animal lovers, we can be a little bit of an introvert. And so when we have to stand up and talk in front of people, that's the scariest part. You know, I still feel like that. I'm like, give me a puppy. Let me train a puppy. But if I'm to get up and talk in front of people, I love doing it now. But when I first started, oh my goodness, I was terrified of it. So I think that the Practical Instructors course, again, you are teaching other students. And so everyone rotates around and takes turn teaching different exercises in the class. Then there's lots of lovely feedback from that. And so I think for me, that is the big one, getting the confidence to be able to present in front of people. Because you have to stand up in front of a class, you have to talk to clients, so you need those people skills. So that's number one. Okay, which ones am I going to choose? I guess as well as that, the fact that you see other students training. So you're not training on your own, learning new skills on your own and going, oh, I wonder what other people are doing. There's a really nice way of, you know, someone might teach an exercise in class and then the next student comes up and they teach the same exercise, but it's with a slightly different twist on it. And so I think that it's a nice way to be looking outside the box, because as we know, we need, you know, lots of tools in our toolbox, because for it may not work for one client and one dog, but, oh, I've got something else. I can pull that out of my toolbox and this is going to work for them. So just the sharing of knowledge, even within the students, is lovely to see. I'm like, okay, what else am I going to choose? The other one as well I really like, and I guess I've always been of this mindset, and I love that IMDT is the same. A lot of the exercises that we're training, it's about making sure that it's engaging, like turn it into games, make it fun, so that the client is enjoying themselves, the dog is enjoying themselves, because if they're enjoying the training, they're going to do it. If there's lots of repetition and, you know, waiting around, and we can lose that client, and we can lose that motivation, and then we can't help them. So I think that a lot of the exercises that are taught, it's about having fun, which is lovely. And then I guess the last one with the instructors, is that I have a lot of people who, you know, they want to come and become a dog trainer, but they may not have a dog who is suitable for a group training class, you know, and often that's why they've started their training journey. They may have had a problem dog, and that there's a passion sparked there. And so so they feel they're restricted, they may not be able to come. And how can I learn to be a dog trainer when I don't have a dog that I can take out and about into the big wide world to learn these skills? With the IMDT course, if your dog isn't suitable, you know, that is absolutely fine. We support that. We want the best for the dog. We have, Y4. If anyone wants a Border Terrier, give me a shout. We also have some lovely trainers around Perth as well who, you know, have dogs who, you know, just happy being, you know, stooge dogs. They're happy to come along, help out, get some loves from someone else. So people can learn and then go and take that home to their dog. But then also, you know, maybe that passion has started. They're going to now be a dog trainer and go and help other dogs like the dog they have at home. I think that's my four.
So number one was confidence.
Yes.
Number two, you get to learn within the family.
Yes.
Number three was it fun, did you say?
Yeah, fun exercises, fun games.
And number four is you can learn even if you don't have your own dog.
Yes. You summed it up beautifully, Ryan.
I was worried because my notes got all scrambled there. Hey, everyone listening, seize the moment. Get involved. If you're in the area, you can go to the imdt.com.au website and find all of the information there. But maybe you're in Barcelona, I don't know, somewhere else in the world and you're not so close. There are going to be other opportunities in your region. So seize the moment, as Laura Ryder has taught us today, as she did when Sophia Yin came to Australia. And hey, you might leave with your own signed lead from someone. I want to say a massive shout out to Fiona Cowie, who you mentioned there, for putting you and me in touch in the first place, Laura, and has also been very actively involved, hasn't she, in everything you've just talked about.
Yeah, she does. So she's part of the 3B team as well as the IMD team. So she has lots of family. She's doing some great things, especially bringing out some amazing people out here to Australia.
Yeah, and I was sitting there going, I just booked my tickets to Susan and Peter in April and going, oh, well, maybe I need to change my tickets. And maybe you came up with the other name for the podcast and everything you just offered us then, Laura. Who doesn't want to learn more about puppies? Who's not going to listen to that episode? Hey, fantastic. And thank you for sharing all of that. That was so much fun to learn about. For our next question, I want to talk about Fear Free, something else which has really fast momentum from when it was first started to where it is now, and the recognition and the amount of family members it's picking up. For those that are listening, though, that might not have heard about Fear Free, before you go into some of the exciting stuff we're going to talk about, can you please just give a quick overview of what Fear Free is? And then we're going to discuss some of the exciting new certifications that listeners of this show might want to seize the moment with and get involved.
Yeah.
But take us back to the start.
Okay. So Fear Free is an online certification program it was originally just for veterinary professionals. It was an initiative created by Dr. Marty Becker. Really what we're doing with the online certification is that we're focusing not just on the physical well-being of patients coming into the clinic, but also that their emotional well-being. So the online course gives lots of tools, protocols, procedures, guidelines, everything you can think of, really. And what we're looking at doing is to reduce fear, anxiety and stress in patients. And the added bonus of that, if we're reducing that in our patients, it's also reducing fear, anxiety, stress in clients. It's definitely one, and I've seen it firsthand at Morley Vet Centre, that it changes culture in the start. There's more staff satisfaction because, you know, we get into this industry because we love animals. So it's a really lovely thing to now have available. So that is how it first started. Once you become a fear-free certified member, then you also have, we have our podcasts. So we have, which again, I'm a podcast nut. So I'm like, who am I going to listen to today? Who on my drive, who's going to be playing? So the podcast series is available. There's also a really great toolbox available to professionals as well, which really is about education. So educating our clients. So again, there's posters, flyers, lots of little videos we can play. Again, teaching those pet dog and pet cat owners that come into our clinics about body language, what fear and anxiety and stress looks like, what we are doing as a veterinary team to reduce that, but also ways that they can help as well to make their pets visit to the vet clinic as fear-free as possible.
And so it's been going for a couple of years now, but there are some new developments.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell the listeners what they are and how they can? You're sick of me saying seize the moment now.
I knew it was coming. Yes.
How they can seize the moment with Fear Free in 2019. Because a lot of people have already done the first certification, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Vet clinics are absolutely. Lots of nurses and vets jumping on board, which is wonderful. So what's happening next? So there is now the fear-free trainers certification. So this is a certification where what you need to do, first of all, is that there is an online exam. Basically, it's testing your knowledge. So it's not a online course to become a dog trainer. It's assuming you're a skilled trainer. But what we're doing is we're then giving skills to be able to help as much as you can working with the veterinary team to help when our patients come into our care. So there's an exam also. It's all on the website. You can have a look. There is a list of qualifications that they see as, the gold standard for trainers. So you need to have got a qualification as a trainer. If it's not on the list, you can absolutely email them, because obviously it is an American based company to start with, but spreading throughout the world very, very fast. So there are some courses that they haven't yet heard of, but they're very lovely and open to hearing about what course you've done, and they'll have a look into it and go from there. And then what we're doing with the once you've done your exam and sent them through that you're a qualified trainer and you're ready to go and learn more about Fear Free. Again, it's an online course. So there's six modules that you work through, and really it is. So I'll just really quickly name them. That way they've got a nice idea. So module one is fear-free efforts to prevent and alleviate fear, anxiety, and stress. So it's really an overview of what we're doing at Fear Free. Module two is fear-free from the home to the hospital. So concepts to employ during trips to the vet. And again, as trainers, we can help with a lot of that. Module three, trainer services to remove the scare from veterinary care. Module four, cooperative care. Module five, duration stationing and active participation behaviours. And module six is putting it all together, so bringing it full circle. And so it's a really great online course. A lot of the videos are from the amazing Chirag Patel and also Laura Monaco Torelli. So they are involved working with the vet behaviourists at Fear Free, putting it all together. So a really, really great course for that one. The other one, which has just launched, like, oh my goodness, 2-3 months ago now, so it's a very, very brand new one, is the groomers course. And so, again, grooming, being like dog training, an unregulated industry, it's a great course for groomers to be able to come and have that certification. So what they're doing is using fear-free concepts to ensure the grooming experience is as enjoyable as possible for every pet that comes in to visit them. So whether it be a young puppy who's never been to visit the groomer before, how we can set them up for their first positive experience, right through to an animal who may have had some bad experiences in the past and maybe already showing fear, anxiety, stress signs, and ways that we can help to reduce that. So the groomer's course is now available online as well.
They're pretty exciting. So training one as a trainer, not groomer, although there's a ton of groomers that listen to the show, which I'm super excited about. We've got Fear-Free Efix, Fear-Free From The Home To The Hospital. I like the name. They sound catchy
they
as well,
do,
don't they? From
they
The Home To The Hospital.
Catchy, yeah.
It's clever. Trainers Services To Remove The Scare. Like cooperative care, training and participation. I didn't really get the full title of that one. I can't write fast enough.
Maybe I'm talking too fast.
And well, if I could think faster and write faster, you wouldn't have to worry about that. putting it all together. And videos from past podcast guests like Shirag and Laura Monaco Torelli, who we treasure here at ATA because she's doing amazing things. So make sure to go check out those episodes, everyone, if you haven't already done so. So all of these certifications, they're all kind of, I'm assuming, tied together to the core central theme, which is reducing stress and anxiety for animals as well as humans.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So there definitely is a central theme. Initially, I first, as a trainer, went and did the veterinary professionals course. And so we had a lot of people doing it that way. But they decided to branch off and specialize and just have the trainers course for trainers, you know, and so make it about them and the skills that they can offer, which is lovely. You know, we can do so much. And I think it's also lovely as well within the course, you know, there's lots of different ideas that we can take away because we have to obviously treat the patient in front of us, is what our veterinary teams are doing, but also each client. So whether it be a client who's really proactive and wanting to do as much as they possibly can, you know, there's lots of skills we can teach them to set their pet up for success, right through to the client who's only just starting their journey on understanding, body language, is that what that meant? Or, you know, that they're just learning. And so trying to inspire and motivate them to learn a little bit more about their pets.
And you mentioned Fear Free, originally created by Dr. Marty Becker, which thanks to you, Laura, we've initiated.
Hopefully there's a conversation. It started. I hope he is on your podcast very soon.
Going to hear it from the man himself, the inspiration, the story that led to this world-changing movement. Can I use the word movement?
Yeah, I say you can.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that one. Fantastic. So let's move on because we've still got a ton of really exciting things we want to talk about. But if you want to learn more about these certifications, where specifically should people go? Just to the main Fear-Free website, Laura, or is there a more specific home and location? And is Fear-Free on social media? What's the best place to?
Yeah, absolutely. So Fear-Free, you can absolutely find on social media, but you can. So fearfreepets.com. So that has all the certification programs there. So you'll just see the drop down options for the different courses, and you can go have a look around and see what is best for you. As far as for the pet owning community, they also have their Fear Free Happy Homes website, so you can absolutely send clients that way. Some really nice resources there for our pet dog, pet cat families out there.
Love it. And once again, we will link to all of the stuff in the podcast write-up. If you go to the ATA website and you want to land there from the ATA website, then you can head to Laura's podcast episode and find all of the links there. So I know that this information is going to be so beneficial to the listeners of this show. I interact all of the time with the Animal Training Academy members, and they're frequently showing and proudly showing their certificates from Fear Free. And there's a growing contingency of them who have that now on their CV. So seize the moment, everyone. And get involved.
And for those in New Zealand, we will have, so Fear Free, I will be over flying the flag for Fear Free at the APDT New Zealand conference this year. I know I have, so KPA Ranch with Ken, and then 4 days of listening to Ken at APDT, like what could be better? So Fear Free will be around at APDT if anyone's there and wants to ask me a little bit more.
And talking about conversations being started, keep your ears peeled for Ken Ramirez on the Animal Training Academy podcast show coming in the very near future. So excited. That we did to do that.
I will be listening.
You're going to get home to your driveway, park your car, and then not have finished listening, and then just go for another short drive so you can finish, aren't you, Laura? Because that is actually something that you do.
I have been known to do that, yes.
And I get to meet you at the APDT New Zealand Conference.
Yes, yeah, it'll be great.
That is the best part of what I do, is when we actually get to meet each other in person.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone out there listening, get involved. We're going to move on, though, to another super exciting topic. There's three really exciting things from this podcast. We talked about IMDT, we talked about Fair Free, but we want to talk about now. Well, we don't want to talk about this. We want to geek out on this. We're going to talk about Laura's Canine Adventure Course. Laura, what is this? And tell people about how it got started.
My Canine Adventure Course. Like we chatted about earlier, I have worked at the vet clinic for many years, and we run lots of different training classes now. And I have a huge client base who are lovely, lovely pet dog loving people who want to have fun with their dogs. And I compete in a few, you know, I've done agility, I've done a little bit of rally, I've dabbled in a few doggy sports and had fun with it. But I do know that, you know, especially for competitive dog sports, there is, you know, a lot of time and effort and training involved and a big commitment to do those sports. And so I found that there was this little gap there, that I had a lot of clients who were doing some, you know, some foundation training with me, having a bit of fun, and then kind of wanted to go onwards and upwards, but didn't feel that they were ready or wanted to commit to a competitive dog sport. So I came from a horsey background. So my old horse, Arnie, I did compete. I did eventing with him many years ago. And one of my favorite things was to do was called a hunter trial. So pony clubs run them, and it's just little obstacles, little tests of skill around a course. It's all about working as a team, you know, as you go around the course with your lovely little pony or horse that you're on. So I kind of thought, well, maybe we could do something like this for dogs. So Canine Adventure Course, what we have is we have between 15 and 20 obstacles laid out around a course. We hold it at a few different venues, but mainly like big grassed open area. So we kind of, you know, hire a local park. And the obstacles are all fun little things for them to climb on. So there's no big, scary, leapy, like cross-country horsey obstacles. It's all little and low and fun. So we have hay bales. We have lots of little logs and ramps for them to walk on. We have a ball pit, which is always a favourite. We'll often get out the agility equipment and have that really low. So the A-frame, like just off the ground, the dog walked right down low. So they can kind of have fun with it. So how we do it, all of the dogs do it on lead. Treats are allowed. You can have as many treats in that treat pouch as you like. And so it's kind of suitable for dogs of any training level. So they work around it and get treats as they kind of explore and sniff and climb on all the different obstacles. It is non-competitive, which is a big one that I was very passionate about, because I think as soon as we put a first prize, a rosette, a ribbon on the line, the competitive side in people comes out a little bit. And sometimes that means that they may accidentally push their dog a little bit. And so instead I took that out of it. It's just about coming and having fun. Like they did back in Pony Club days, everyone gets a little completion rosette. So the dogs all get a really cute little rosette for coming and having fun, which I think the rosette's more for the owners, but you know, it's cute. And so we can have dogs going around the course. It's, I guess, if we think about like a confidence course for puppies, it's kind of a bigger version of that. So they have lots of fun with it. We've run it at quite a few different venues now. So we did run it as a solo event first up. It becomes a real social group. People come along, you know, with their family, with friends, and bring their dogs. And so they'll have a couple of goes around the course, just dog and handler. And then the last one is like a little teams event. And again, we used to do this back in kind of pony club days, where you would go with someone else. So they can go with, you know, their friend and their friend's dog, and off they go around the course together. And that always gets really cute photos, you know, a couple of little doggies climbing on the hay bales and jumping into the ball pit and having fun. So we did it as a solo event initially. Now we've had quite a few local dog events contact us, so community events, and ask if we'll run a little mini course at their events. So they're lovely. They give us a little fenced area. We have some little obstacles. The dogs can come in and, again, climb on and play and have a bit of fun. I really like it at the community events because, especially here in Perth, we're getting lots and lots of, you know, little kind of events where, you know, there's the little market stalls, people can walk around and look at dog related products and kind of have a chat and a wander. And it's great for the people. There's lots to look at, but sometimes there's not too much for the dogs to do. There may be, we've done them before, you know, there's an agility demonstration or an obedience demonstration going on. But for the pet dog, they're just kind of mooching around. There's not much for them to really engage with. So I like that, you know, we're giving this for them. The people can wander around and then the dogs can come in and have a bit of fun themselves as well. We have quite a lot of breed groups here in Perth. So they're real social groups. They meet up every couple of months and do some fun activities together. So I've had them book me out. They just book, you know. Probably the cutest one, oh my goodness, was the Westie Walkers of Perth. So I had, I think it was 25, 30 little Westies all in a group doing an adventure course. And it was gorgeous. It was very, very cute. And we have done, over the school holidays, we've done a dogs and kids adventure course. So parents come, parents obviously hold the lead, but the kids get to go around with their dog and have fun. The kids love climbing on the stuff just as much as the dogs. So, you know, they'll wander along the hay bales and dive into the ball pit with their dog and have fun. Then we have like a little tea and coffee station. So the parents and the dogs can have a little relax, you know, in a little shady spot. And then the kids come with me and I usually have another staff member with me to help. And we get the kids thinking about doing some more fun things with their dogs. So we have an enrichment station. It's basically art and craft. So the last one we had egg cartons and cereal boxes and some doggy treats, and they kind of made all of that for their dogs. And they made a tuggy toy. We had some polar fleece and they all got a turn. They platted and made a toy for their dog. And I think it was lovely. It was nice connecting with the younger generation. And again, we can connect with them. Then we're going to inspire that next generation of dog lovers and hopefully some dog trainers out there too.
So it kind of sounds like a mini proprioception course.
Yeah.
A fun, non-competitive proprioception course.
Yes.
Is that a worth something?
Yeah. I think so. It is. It's just come, have fun, build some confidence and enjoy themselves.
Cool. And so for people who might want to get involved, mm-hmm. Here's the moment after listening to this show, and who aren't, like myself, not necessarily into the competitive side of dog sports and just want to jump in there and have as much fun as possible and take my own little Rosetta home, no matter what happens.
Yes, that's right.
What would you say the four biggest benefits that you've found? We're going with the number four today. No reason. What are the four biggest benefits that the people who have gone through you and learned about your canine adventure course, what's the feedback you've got? What are the four biggest benefits?
Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, that it is a non-competitive fun event. So there's something out there that they can do on a weekend with their dog that, you know, that's really fun, and they can do it with friends. So I think that's probably the top of the list. I think also the nice thing is that, especially at the community events, we engage the community and they come and have a bit of fun with their dog, and they may not need a dog trainer's services now, but, you know, the next door neighbors get a puppy, or, you know, their auntie's got a dog that's, you know, showing some behavioral issues. And so I think it's a nice one to connect with the community and let them know that we're out there. And then if they do need us, they can connect. We can put them in touch with the right people that are going to give them the best advice. So I think that is a nice one, connecting. Educating the next generation, again, doing something fun with the kids. I think I've had quite a few kids now who come along and, you know, they've learned a little bit about body language, and then they've come to another little course and they point out before everyone else does, you know, oh, his tail's down a little bit, mummy, you know, and, you know, or, you know, oh, did you see that lip lick? And they're amazing. Little kids are so observant. Once they know it, that they've got it. So I think educating that next generation is lovely. And I think the last one, like I said, with the going to the community events, giving the dogs something to do. There's always fun things for the people to look at and see and do, but giving the dogs, you know, come in and just have some fun. No pressure. Just come in and explore and enjoy yourselves. I think that's four.
Yeah, non-competitive, engage the community and pick up some clients at the same time. Yes. Educated in the next generation, super important. Did you see that lip lick, mummy?
Yeah.
That's the words we want on every child's lips.
Yeah.
And giving the dog something to do, they're pretty massive benefits in my eyes. But I want to go to that second one, engaging the community and mm-hmm. getting them thinking about dogs in a different way. Because that is something that I want to use the word movement again. I don't know if it's the right word. I'm going to explore this on my own time by myself. But, you know, as our positive reinforcement community, that's a big challenge that we, once again, challenge isn't the right word, but that's a potential strategy that we could employ, engaging that community and getting them more mm-hmm. Interested in this stuff. So that's huge. And I think that's something potentially, and I want to hear you put this in your own words, but I think that's something we can think about as a global community to kind of help us in spreading the message about positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think we have clients that seek us out, which is wonderful. And more are seeking out, you know, that positive reinforcement, modern, fear-free, whatever words we want to, you know, label it today, that, you know, our training philosophies, and they're seeking us out. But we do still need to be planting seeds out in that community, because not everyone is seeking out what we do. And so I think that doing things that just being out there and having fun with their dogs, again, we're engaging them. I may not be able to completely change everyone's point of view straight away, but again, just striking up conversation, connecting, planting a couple of little seeds, I think is the way forward.
You've heard it here, everyone. Laura is going to change everyone's point of view, just not straight away.
Yeah.
But engagement with the community seems like a very, very valuable conversation to continue moving forward. So thank you so much for sharing that, Laura. We are sadly nearly at the end of this episode, but what we like to do at this point is go full circle. We started off with, was it 23 years ago when you started,
yes,
Morley? We
it
started
is.
Off mm-hmm. when you're 15 years old, learning yep. about puppies, falling in love with puppies. Bring us up to, we've been brought up to 2019 and all of the tremendous amount of exciting things and opportunities that you all have in the podcast audience to seize the moment with the IMDT, Fear Free, thinking about how we can engage the community. Maybe a canine adventure course would be the way to go about that. But let's look forward now, Laura, into the future. What do you want to see happen in the next 5 to 10 years in positive reinforcement, dog training? I'm going to go broader than this, animal training world.
I knew you were going to ask this question. It is a big one. I guess really I want us to always be moving forward. And it is great. We're in such a great place at the moment that things are moving forward, but we can't change everyone's opinion overnight. So I think inspiring that next generation, whether it be those kids, you know, coming along to a fun little adventure course, whether it be, you know, working with clients or, you know, onwards and upwards and presenting to vets or nurses, fellow trainers, and spreading the word for what we do and planting those seeds. Because we may not be able to pick the fruit now, but we can get those, we can plant those seeds and keep doing that. And I think that I often see in our industry that we can get a little bit disheartened when we feel change isn't happening as quick as we would like. But I always go back to I'm planting seeds. So I think that is where we're at. Keep planting those seeds.
We may not be able to pick the fruit now, but we can plant the seeds. I love it. And you say that sometimes you feel
was that really cheesy?
No, it was like angels singing in the background. But I am reminded a lot of Susan Friedman's offering to celebrate approximations. And mm-hmm. does this kind of go along that same line? You mentioned there that sometimes people have that big goal in mind, but you know, even just listening to this podcast, that's an approximation towards lots of people's goals, isn't it? And sometimes we forget to celebrate that. Is that the same thing, or is it slightly different than that?
No, I think you're right, Ryan. I think we celebrate the little wins. They are their little approximations, but we're getting there.
And so one thing I started doing is making a list every day of all the small approximations that I took during the day to reach towards my big goals. And it's really been quite an interesting experiment that I've been doing in 2019. What are some other things that you might have to offer the listeners of this show to help them remember to celebrate approximations?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess, I don't know. I'm going to go take my dog trainer hat off and put my mummy hat on. So my little daughter, little Isla, she's going to be so happy if she hears this. I mentioned her instead of dogs all the time. Every night before she goes to bed, we talk about our five favorite things of the day. So they can be little achievements we've done. And I don't know, I think like you've written it down, you've found a way to reflect and go, these are the things I'm going to work on, and then look back on it. And I think that's how I've done it. Myself and little Isla at nighttime, we sit down and we talk about our five little things of the day that meant the most to us. And so I guess for listeners, finding that way to reflect and look, and that way you will see those changes.
Yeah, I think you've just helped me approximate, and I'm going to celebrate this right now.
Woo-hoo! Yes,
you've helped me celebrate how I can make that list more sustainable long term, because they actually get really long. And sometimes I'll be at the end of the day going, oh, God, I haven't made my new website yet.
Yeah.
You know, God, why haven't I made my new website? But the list is huge compared to all of those things. So maybe I'm going to jot that down to five favorite things. And you made me think about, you know, maybe I should mention my wife so I'm not talking about dogs all day either. Love you, Sapphire. Hey, thanks again so much for sharing everything today, Laura. That was so much fun. Before we do officially wrap up, I know we mentioned this towards the start of the episode, but can you please just remind everyone listening where they can go to find out more about you, all of the stuff we've talked about today, and get in touch?
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Ryan. So I am on Facebook. By all means, find me, friend me, morleyvetcentre.com.au, and then all of my contact info is through there. Exciting times for IMDT Australia in 2019. So that is imdt.com.au. For our IMDT family from over in the UK coming to visit and present over here. So we have John Wigan, Sam Turner, Steve Mann, Robert Hewings and David Bryce, all in Australia for 2019. They will all be booked through 3bevents.com.au. Fear Free, go check out the trainers info there. So that is fearfreepets.com. And if you want to have fun doing some canine adventure courses around the place, I have more info on that website, which is canineadventurecourse.com.
Wonderful. And we will, of course, link to all of this in the show notes as well. As mentioned, this has been so much fun, Laura, from myself and on behalf of everyone listening. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Ryan.
It's been a pleasure. Everyone listening, we, of course, appreciate all of you tuning in today as well. If you've enjoyed this episode as much as we've enjoyed making it, and you are interested in carrying on the conversation about working with our animals in the most positive, funnest, fear-free, choice-rich ways, then as mentioned at the start of the episode, the Animal Training Academy community is waiting for you. Head on over to www.animaltrainingacademy.com, click on the membership button in the main menu to learn more about what members are describing as the Netflix social media platform for behavior geeks. There's something there for absolutely everyone. We're looking forward to having you join the tribe. Remember, seize the moment. That's it for this episode, though. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks again, everyone, so much for listening. You'll hear from us again soon.